we're going to be going to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. And this scripture is about Adonijah. Adonijah. David's eldest living son who had declared himself king. You see, David at this point was at the end of his prime. He was going into a place of maybe transition. And Adonijah was declaring himself king. And he was making moves and trying to connect with different elites in the kingdom. He was trying to show his influence. And he tried to win the elite over by throwing a party. And by telling everyone, I'm the king, I'm going to be the next king. Even though David had promised Bathsheba that Solomon would be king. So this is where we're at, 1 Kings 1, verse 50. Now Adonijah was afraid of Solomon because the king had just found out what Adonijah was doing, proclaiming and claiming that he was king. Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, indeed, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. For look, he has taken a hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. You see, grabbing the horns of the altar was a plea for mercy and grace in a holy place, in the temple. Now, I forgot to give the media team, awesome media team, by the way, they helped me out so much. But the horns of the altar would be like this. It would be much larger, but there was going to be four horns that would stick out on each corner here, all right? And it would be a large altar where they would do the animal sacrifices on in the temple. And so Adonijah had broken through those back doors, run through the middle of the sanctuary, and he had grabbed hold of the horns, saying, please don't kill me. That's what he said. I feel like I can be myself here today. Is that all right? All right. So 1 Kings 2, this is Adonijah. He had begged for mercy. He had run into the sanctuary, grabbed hold of the horns, and he was just asking for mercy from the king. Now we go to 1 Kings 2, 28 to 32, and we have a man named Joab. Everyone say Joab. Joab is a really cool guy in scripture that kind of falls off at the end, kind of falls from grace. And he was the general of David's army, but he had aligned himself incorrectly with Adonijah. He had said, I'm going to be on Adonijah's team opposed to Solomon's team. And so what we have here, the news came for Joab. For Joab had defected to Adonijah, though he had not defected to Absalom. So Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord and took hold of the horns of the altar. And King Solomon was told, Joab has fled to the tabernacle of the Lord. There he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaniah, son of Jehonadab, saying, go strike him down. Now Benaniah is like, strike him down. Kill someone in the holy place while he's holding the horns, a place of mercy. And you can see that there's some hesitation in the story because the king told him, just go strike him down. But Benaniah went to the tabernacle of the Lord and said, thus says the king, come out. Benaniah does not want to kill him in the sanctuary. And he said, no, I will die here. That's Joab speaking. Benaniah brought back the word to the king, saying, thus said Joab, thus he answered me, saying, this is what he said, king, what do I do? He then replied, the king said to him, do as he has said, strike him down there and bury him, that you may take away from me the house of my father, the innocent blood which Joab has shed. Let's just pray today. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for the scripture, Lord God. I thank you for this word, Lord God, that you've given me, Lord God. But Lord, you've given me this word for your people today, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, it spoke to me. Yes, it's speaking to me, God. But I pray, Lord God, that your word would land on good soil, Lord God, from the front of the church to the back, to the left, to the right, Lord God. Let it be good soil, Lord God, and let you bring the increase, Lord God. We worship you. We praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Can everyone say amen? Amen? Amen. Let it be so. You may be seated today. You see, the story of Adonijah, when I read the Bible, I read myself. It's a natural human thing to read yourself into Scripture. And I say it's a powerful thing to do because then you can allow the Scripture to speak into your life. Of course, there's times in study when you want to take yourself out of the Scripture, but it's really good in your personal devotion to read yourself in. And so in reading this scripture, as God gave me the scripture verse this morning, I was reading Charles Spurgeon, and he talked about the horns of the altar, and me and my wife began to discuss it, and then the Lord gave me this word this morning. And as I read it, I just saw me. I saw some entitlement. I saw some ego, some pride, some arrogance, some ignorance as a young man. And I am talking to myself a little bit right now because I know the Lord has a lot to work on in me. But I saw a little bit of my past self as well. You see, throwing a party of sin, trying to get yes men all around me to support me in my cause. And I was backslid for around 6 years, and we're going to get to that. But this is, I was at a point in my life where I was just doing things for my ego, for my pride, and I was doing things for other people around me, yes, man, trying to get them to support my cause of destroying my life slowly but surely. And you see, Adonijah had declared himself king. He had declared himself king, and I remember being at a point where I declared myself king of my own life, where I said, God, no longer are you king, but I have put myself in the seat, in the driver's seat, and I'm king now. I'm doing things my way, just like Adonijah had done. You see, he had declared himself king in a kingdom that was not his. But when the real king showed up, when Solomon showed up, when God shows up, when righteous judgment shows up, something begins to happen. You want to run to an altar. You want to grab hold of a horn and say, God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. God, I need to do something about this. That's what we see happening with Adonijah. You see, scripture tells us in 1 Kings 1:49 that his friends left him when trouble arose. And man, oh man, did I see that in my own life? I remember I was with a bunch of my friends, or so-called friends as I thought, and we were in a car, we were smoking, we were having a good time, blasting music in my car, and actually it wasn't my car, it was my parents' car. And I had to spray Febreze after every time we'd hang out. It was terrible. And I had blown the speakers listening to loud, terrible music. My dad said, you blew the speakers. I said, what? What speakers? Cars have speakers? But I remember what happened was my car battery died. And guess what? All of those friends left me. Guess who I had to call? Hey, Dad. The king showed up. My dad showed up. He represents the king. Your father in your household, he's going to represent the Lord. And I had to call my father and say, hey, my car just died. And there was some shame that I experienced when I had to go before the king and tell him what happened. And all my friends left me, all my so-called friends. You see, that's what happens when you're in sin. That's what happens when you're not repentant, when you're not living a life that you should be. You may be here in church because, let me tell you, in those 6 years of going to church, I was not in church. There's different levels of that. You can start to slowly go down the hill as you're pushing that rock up the hill. And so I don't look out and I don't see a bunch of heathens. But I do see some people that may be struggling, because guess what? I'm struggling. There's been some struggles in my own life. And as a human, I know that there's some things that I wish I do, Lord. But I do them not, like Paul wrote. But you see, when God shows up, I'm so glad that I know that I can run to the temple. That I know that I can run to a church. That I know that I can come to an altar. And I can say, God, I need some forgiveness. God, I need some mercy. God, I know that I'm declaring myself king, but I'm not king. And I can come to a safe place, a place of mercy, a place of grace. Because guess what? King Solomon told Adonijah. He told him, it's all right. You can go. You can go from my presence. Even though you declared yourself king of your life, even though you've done these things, I'm going to let it slide. And I'm so glad, God, that God has let some things in my own life slide because of his great love and his great mercy and his great kindness, and that I can run to a safe place like Restoration Church. Thank you, Jesus, for this place today. I can run to an altar and I can ask for mercy. I can repent and ask God for a second chance. And God gave me that And that's why I stand here today as a living testimony of what happens when you run to an altar and you grab the horn. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the next chapter over, we see that Joab is grabbing the same horn that a few chapters back, I might just start getting Landon to say it for me. Landon, you might need to grab a mic, man. No, it's all right. It's all right. Adonijah. It's the same horn that Adonijah grabs, that Joab grabs, literally just one verse later. But the king's reaction to Adonijah grabbing it is a little bit different than it is when Joab grabs it. You see, Joab grabbing the altar, a place of mercy, a place of sins being pushed back, where sin was dealt with, is put to death for his sins. You see, Joab had played with the king's mercy a little too much. Joab had asked for forgiveness and took advantage of it a little too much. You see, Joab had some influence in the kingdom. Joab was coming to church. Joab knew the Lord. He knew the king. And he thought, oh, maybe I can get away with another little sin. Maybe I can get away with another little rebellion in my life. And I know where I can run. I can run to the church if I mess up. I can run to the altar if I get caught. I can run into the sanctuary, into the temple, and I can grab that horn if something goes wrong. But we see that the king's reaction was a little bit different this time around. And the thing about the king's reaction is that we never know when it's going to switch. And the Bible tells us that no man knows the day nor the hour, and that life is but a vapor. You see, man, just 3 days ago, it's been 9 years since one of my friends was the first person in my hood, you know, Canadian hood, so it's not really, you know. But he was one of the first people in my life that I lost, and I've lost a lot of friends getting shot, some friends in jail, and he was one of my first friends that overdosed from fentanyl. He was Muslim, and man, we had some discussions there. And there, of course, still is some regret in my life because I wasn't living a right life that I could be a true, that I could be what I was supposed to be. But I have another friend, and Landon knew of him. His name is DJ, and he had another brother, Darion. And I met them at Urshan, and I was all about Bible studies at Urshan. I love teaching Bible studies. It's where my heartbeat is. And Darion passed away in a car crash. But Darion, he knew the Lord. And even though it was a random car crash, he was going to visit his father. But he had been baptized, he had the Holy Ghost, and he was living a repentant life. And you never know when your day is. You never know when it can happen. And you never know when the king's judgment is going to come down on you. And so I'm preaching to someone here today. There may be some secret things in your life. And guess what? The Lord knows your thoughts. And so even if your sin isn't a decrepit, evil sin in the eyes of our society or in the eyes of church society, sin is sin. Sin is sin. It may be something small to you that you're just making excuses for. Oh, I can get away with that because it's not punishable by law. But the Bible tells us that sin is sin. That a little sin is still a big sin to the Lord. And so today, man, Brother Walden hit the nail on the head that we need to be there needs to be a repentant spirit in me every day. You see, Joab had played with the king's mercy too much. You see, God will only allow you to run to the altar so many times before the repercussions of what you're doing and what you're taking advantage of runs out. In Hebrews, it tells us that if you take advantage of the Lord's grace and mercy, it is you that is crucifying him onto the cross. What a harsh scripture. The God that came down, robed in flesh for me, took on all my sin. It's me, the one putting the nails into his hands. Because I'm taking advantage of his grace and his mercy like Joab did. God will only allow you to run to the altar so many times. And that it was a paradigm shift in my life. When my mom, I was sitting high in the car, in the passenger seat to my car, just ignoring my mother, my mom's 4'11", this cute Filipino lady with all the spunk and energy in the world. And she always wanted to talk to me and know what was going on in my life. And I would just ignore her, put my headphones in, you know, just wanted to leave, just wanted to escape. Because she was a holy woman. And man, that holiness was, I knew what I was supposed to be doing. But my mom sat there one day and she cried and she looked at me and she said, "Stop playing with God's grace, Micah. You don't know when it's going to run out." And so today I want to preach to someone. You don't know when it's going to run out. You don't know when you can't run to this altar and grab a horn one more time. And it may be something small. Maybe something that you're pushing out, that you're making excuses for, that you're affirming in yourself. No, it's okay. They did me wrong. Because the Bible tells us that we are justified by Jesus. There's no justification for my sin or for my actions. The only justification is Jesus. So don't be justifying your actions and don't be justifying your sin. Because we're only justified by Jesus. That's it. That's it. You don't want to take for granted this altar before you like Joab did. You see, I started this preaching about Adonijah, how he was able to come to the altar. The fact that today at the end of the service, you can come to this altar and remember the cross. Remember what he did for you and how he died for you is a privilege that you shouldn't take for granted. I see people that love to worship, but do you love to repent? Do you love the mercy seat? Do you love that you can grab a hold of the horn and that every single time that you say, "God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me," and you mean it, that because you've been washed in the blood and that the name of Jesus has been declared over you, that you are forgiven? That's a privilege. That's an honor. An honor that could run out. And you never know when. You see, it's either going to be you paying for your sins at Judgment Day, or it's going to be Jesus. I'm so glad that Jesus already paid for my sin. And that if I can live a life and try my best. The Bible says that a righteous man falls, and so I do not want the enemy to be speaking any condemnation. The Bible says that a righteous man or woman falls but gets back up again. What makes them righteous is that they're getting back up and that they're walking again. And so today when service ends, let's get back to walking. Let's get back to walking with the Lord. Can we do that today? In Jesus' name. I'm landing the plane. Everyone put your seatbelt on. Luke 1:69 is a prophecy of the Messiah. It's the prophecy of Jesus. And it says that Jesus will be called the horn of salvation. You see, too many of us are stuck in an Old Testament mindset of Joab and of Adonijah that you have to come to church to grab the horn. That you have to come to the altar. That you have to wait for a Wednesday or for a Sunday to repent. That God's mercy is only available here at church. But I've come to rebuke that today, and I've come to prompt some of you today. That because Jesus has become our horn of salvation. Because Jesus has become my horn of salvation, I am able to wherever I am, grab onto that horn and say, "God, forgive me." That his mercy, his grace is available to me no matter where I am. I could be in the parking lot of Target. I could be at home in my closet. I could be in my car and I could have done something wrong just 5 minutes ago. But that horn is available for me because Jesus has become that horn of salvation. No longer do I have to wait to run to the temple for mercy and for grace, but I can come before him in boldness, into his presence, in prayer, and say, "God, forgive me. No matter where I am, no matter what I've done, I can find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at the mention of his name. At the mention of his name. It's not something that you need to wait for to come to church to say, God, I'm sorry, I want to be better. God, I'm sorry, I want to live right. You could have sinned 5 seconds ago. It could have happened just 5 seconds ago, and you can still say, God, and if you mean it, if you're genuine, and you need to the Bible says, let there be tears for repentance. So there needs to, and that doesn't mean you have to cry every time, but it means that you have to mean it. And sometimes meaning it means that there needs to be some action behind it. And if you're really turning from sin, maybe you need some accountability to help you out. So talk to your leadership if you're really about turning from that sin in your life. Because too many times if you're taking advantage of it by saying, God, I'm sorry, and then doing it again, it doesn't show that you're truly repentant. So there needs to be some action behind what you're doing to show your repentance. I'm going to set up some more guardrails so it doesn't happen again, Lord. I'm going to do this, Lord, so I don't fall again, because I don't want to take advantage of the horn that I'm able to grab at any moment. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. Jesus has become our horn of salvation. And because the veil is torn, we are able to grab onto that horn whenever we want, whenever we need. Repentance is available 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. I can come boldly before the King. I can come boldly before the King. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to do better. Amen. Amen. Psalms 118:27 says, God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Everyone say light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horn of the altar. You see, in this study, the horns, they weren't just there to be grabbed. There was actually another purpose for them. The horns were on and connected to the place of sacrifice because what they would do is the animals would be tied to the horns before they would get sacrificed. You see? So there would be multiple animals attached to each horn, tied up to each horn, and as the priest would slaughter one, he would untie one, slaughter it, and then put it onto the altar of sacrifice. They were bound to the horns, waiting for their turn, waiting for their time to be sacrificed. You can all stand with me today. I want that to be me. I want to be bound to the horn of my salvation. I want to be bound to Jesus every day of the week, 365. I want to be bound to Jesus. And guess what? I'll never have to go onto that place of sacrifice because he took my place. I get to just be bound to him because he already did the greatest sacrifice by laying down his life. He took my place as the sacrifice, bound to the horn, waiting my turn. A turn that if I follow after him, if I live a righteous, right, a repentant life, I will never have to be put onto that altar of sacrifice. I want to be attached to the horn every single day. I don't want to take advantage of the horn, but I want to be tied to my Jesus every day. I want to be tied to him. And I want my service to him, my sacrifice to him to be genuine. To come from a holy place, a righteous place. A place of no secret sin or hidden sin. Where I can say, God, I'm forgiven and I want to serve you, Lord. God, you've taken my place as a sacrifice, so I want to sacrifice my life to you, Lord. I want to be bound to you, Jesus, to your kingdom. I want to be bound to what you would have me do. I want to be attached to him every day, attached to that horn, that altar of sacrifice. An altar, if you could all come, let's come to the front, let's come to the altar. Let's grab hold of that horn today of Jesus and say, God, I'm thankful for repentance, God. I don't want to take advantage of it, Lord. God, I'm thankful for what you've done. I want to be attached to you, Jesus. God, I need to talk to some of my leadership to be accountable with some of the things I'm struggling eternally, God. I want to be bound to Jesus, the horn of salvation, the altar of sacrifice. God, I don't have to be sacrificed anymore. God, you've taken my place. But God, I'm going to sacrifice some things to you, Lord. I'm going to be bound to you. That's right. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. Oh God, search my heart.